Father, we pray tonight in the name of Jesus as we've gathered in this place. We pray that you'll guide us and you'll help us, that you will speak to us. And God, we are hungering and thirsting, Lord, to move to levels beyond anything that we've previously experienced. And it isn't because, Lord, any of us seem competent in ourselves alone. We know how much we need you. But we also know that there's a plan for our life, a purpose for this church and for our homes, our loved ones. And Lord, as we seek to be even more effective tools in your hand, guide us, I pray, stir us, each of us, at the deepest level possible. May something happen tonight that will eternally change our lives. Until your return, we ask. In Jesus' name we pray. And all of God's people said a good amen. Isaac Disraeli, who was the father of the British Prime Minister who bore the same surname, is reputed to have said, "You know, it's a wretched taste to be gratified with mediocrity when excellence lies before us." You know, excellence is the key to success in any endeavor you might name. By definition, it means of the very best quality, superiority, first rate, of exceptional goodness. Edwin Bliss once said, quote, "The pursuit of excellence is gratifying and healthy, but the pursuit of perfection is frustrating, neurotic, and a waste of time." I had a guy I worked for a while. And if you were to ask him what his goal was, he would say perfection. If I had any influence upon him, I told him, I said, that's the wrong goal to have. Because you'll never get to perfection. We'll never get there. No matter how hard we try, we're never going to be 100% all the time. If you think about it, even though there is a lofty ideal we all must reach for, it isn't to be perfect, but it's to be excellent. To be the best we can be. It doesn't mean we won't make mistakes. Now, I'm going to say something controversial right now, and I've been thinking about it for several days, but hear what I'm going to say. To fail doesn't make you a failure. Because in the pursuit of excellence, there will be times you'll make mistakes. When you're striving for stuff, there will be stumbles. Hello? Now, I know you're not supposed to say that in a Pentecostal church, a full gospel church, but you're going to hear my heart on this. Because you're not looking at a perfect person. I'm not. I strive. I strive in every area. Now, there's a reason why I'm dressed the way I am tonight, because I came from work, okay? And this is kind of like what I dress. Well, it's a carryover from playing college basketball and college tennis. I had sweatsuits. And my kids always say that I made sweatsuit the new fashion. I love wearing sweatsuits like as much time as I can get away with. I love it. I enjoy it. Right now, it's particularly appropriate because of these back concerns I've got. These kind of give with you a little bit. But, you know, when it comes to life, it doesn't mean that we have to, we strive for high ideals. And when you say, I want to be excellent, I want to be the best I can be, that doesn't mean we're always going to necessarily look like the next guy. We're not going to have to, in fact, the scripture says we are not wise when we try to compare ourselves with others. And you heard me say this before. If you spend all your time trying to be somebody else, who's going to spend all their time trying to be you? You need to be yourself, who you are, the way God created you with all your gifts and aptitudes, and you must not become intimidated that you're not somebody else because God didn't make you them. Or you would look just like them. And by the way, if there are two of you, one of you is unnecessary. That's pretty good. I like that. But the fact of the matter is, the pursuit of excellence is the key, not perfection. Because in the process of pursuing goals, now, in my before the three back surgeries that I had to endure through, and God knows those of you who have back issues, I feel your pain because I wrestle with it all the time. But before that time, I used to run a lot, ran in three marathons, and loved to run. I just enjoyed running. But I will tell you, in the pursuit of getting to certain goals, there were a lot of missteps. There were days where I felt awful. Awful. Didn't want to get out of the house. The hardest part of the run is the first step, off the couch. And there were times I felt terrible. Didn't feel like I was getting anywhere. I always told people that I was in training with or were mentoring in Three's Guard. I said, some of the days when you feel the worst is when you need it the most. And I want to tell you something in life. If you only do it when you feel good, there's not going to be that many days. There's a lot of days we don't want to get up. There's a lot of days when we don't want to go to work. Have you ever had a day we didn't want to pray? Ever have a day when you didn't feel like reading God's Word? Ever have a morning when you wanted to stay at bedside assembly and not go to church? Come on. Excellence is not perfection. There will be, in the process of pursuing it, there will be times of stumble. Because in your heart to try to pursue a level of being the optimal person that you're striving to be, you're going to have stuff along the way. It's going to come up in front of you, and you're going to see it, and you're going to hear it, and you're going to be like, oh my God. Particularly when you see the inadequacies in yourself. But I will tell you that excellence, that sense of priority in people where they want to be the best they can. Maybe it's not as good as somebody else, but it's the best they... when a person has that in them, it changes the whole dynamic. When a person says that I want to be the best employee that I can possibly be, doesn't mean you'll be a perfect employee. All employees make mistakes. I've had people work for me. Literally, I've had people who I have hired and have worked for me since I was 25 years old. I've had people work for me for almost 35 years. I've had a lot of people who've worked for me. I've had people I've hired. I hate to admit it. I've had people I've fired. I had people that I hired. I realized I'd made a great big mistake. I had people I didn't realize they were going to be that good. But the one thing you look for is people who have a desire to do well, and they want to do a good job. Doesn't mean they'll always do the right thing. I got a guy that worked for me that makes mistakes all the time. And sometimes I have to have a little sit-down meeting with him and say, you're better than this. You can do better than this. Well, I want to do better than that. I want to do a good job. That's what I want to hear. As an entrepreneur, as a boss, as a self, I want to hear somebody say, I want to do the best I can. Because if you get tapped into that, and hear me tonight, as people of faith, listen to this. God created you to be great. God created you for excellence. The Bible talks about that we're what? Psalm 139, fearfully and wonderfully made. Doesn't the scripture say that we're crowned with, Psalm 8, glory and honor? You're not cheap stuff. Turn to your neighbor and say, you're not cheap stuff. We were made for excellence. Listen to this. God created us for excellence. Christ deserves our best. The Holy Spirit empowers us to be better than we are all by ourselves. And if nothing else, the times require it. I believe it was Booker T. Washington that said, excellence is doing a common thing in an uncommon way. Excellence is doing a common thing in an uncommon way. In other words, it's the person who says, I'm not going to just be satisfied with status quo. Understand the Latin? Status quo, the way it's always been done. There was a gal that worked with my wife for a while. Her favorite motto was, it's good enough. It's good enough. She'd say it all the time. Now, you know what I said, don't you? You already can read my mind. Because I remember my wife was telling me about working with this gal, and she said, you know, it just goes all over me. It just goes all over me. She always says, well, that's good enough. You know what came to my mind, didn't you? Good enough sometimes isn't good enough. There are times when you know you can do better. One of the greatest testimonies of a person of faith working anywhere you name is a person who does their best. No matter who their boss is, no matter who the foreman is. Now, we all know places where you're not in favor with the workers if you try to do your best because they don't want people working like that. Because they think it makes them look bad. Because they're not giving their best. I have had loved ones, people near and dear to me, that have lost their jobs because they hired in at a place where they were too good. Am I exaggerating here? Too good at what they did. Because they did so well, it singled people out that weren't doing so well. Let me tell you something. I don't just want to do a job good. I want to do it as best I can. I want to continue to learn how to preach. I continually study preaching. I continue to study. I keep listening to people that I think are a lot better than I am. And I don't think of myself great at all. I don't. But I want to be as best I can be. And I'm constantly thinking, God, how could I do that better? And nobody beats themselves up more than I do. When I leave here and I go wherever I got to go or coming here, I beat myself up more than anybody else because I think sometimes I could have done a better job than that. I could have said it better. It's not that anybody typically tells me things about my mama or something. It's not that. It's just that in me, there's this desire to be the best person I can be, to be the best employee, to be the best employer, to be the best minister, to be the best husband, to be the best father, to be the best grandfather. And I think that's the excellence that the Holy... You see, if God can get a hold of us, give your attention, if God can get a hold of us, I mean every one of us, and put that in us to where we'll say, you know what, I'm not going to be satisfied just with mediocrity. I don't want that taste in my mouth. Where I say, well, it's just good enough. Because there's times God deserves a lot better than just good enough. And you know, don't you? I know. I know when I'm not giving my best. I spend 7 to 10 hours every night in 3.5 counties in southeast Indiana and in stores throughout the day. This is one of those days where I have a double shift. I had family in for days. House was full. And so Nance took the grandkids back today to Fort Wayne, had stuff they had to do, take them to the doctor and various things. And so I had things I have to do. Listen, whenever I walk into a store and I'm dealing with a manager or a store owner, or during the night when I'm dealing with customers, let me tell you something. I don't just want it somewhere on the property. I want it right where they want it, exactly where they want it, every night, every day. And somebody says, well, that's good enough. No, that's not good enough. If we can do better, we need to do better, no matter what it is. Hello. That's what we all strive for, isn't it? To train ourselves to be even better, to hone our skills. There's a lot of people say, oh, what's the great big deal? The great big deal is excellence honors the God that created us. And those that love us, and those that employ us, and those that we serve. If we can somehow get this, it will make a double doggone great big difference in how we relate to people. Because that excellence is magnetic. When people begin to tap into the fact that we're not just trying to get by. We're not just trying to get by. We want to make a difference. I want to come out of this life better than the way I came into it. I don't just want to limp to the finish line. I want to finish strong. And I know that I'm not as strong as I once was because of a lot of physical inabilities, but I'm still strong in here. I'm strong where it really is important. And I want to be greater in faith. I want to see more signs and wonders and miracles. I want to see more people saved. I want to touch more people's lives. I don't just want to say, it's good enough. You know, it was said of the great pianist Paderewski that if he didn't practice one day, he knew it, If he didn't practice, Bob, 2 days, his mentor knew it. And if he didn't practice 3 days, the crowd knew it. It began to be noticed by people around him. There's something to be said about you and I. Whatever we're doing, whatever we do, the Bible says we should do it with all of our might as what? As unto the Lord. Because we serve the Lord Christ. There's something about excellence. Now listen to this. Excellence requires us to mix hard work with diligence and our potential. Excellence is about us mixing hard work with diligence and our potential. Every one of us have potential. We all do. But talent and abilities are not good enough. There was an interesting study I saw some years ago in USA Today where they interviewed U.S. graduating high school seniors and their counterparts in the Orient, primarily Korea and Japan. And they were asking those differing audiences, those differing groups, what was the key to success in life? Graduating U.S. high school seniors and their counterparts in Korea and Japan. U.S. high school seniors believed, in this study that USA Today had conducted, they believed that the number one key to success was giftedness. But their counterparts in the Orient, Korea and Japan, said hard work. And that's why the Orientals have been beating us up for a long, long time. Because they get it. And we got to get back to that. Excellence requires not just our talents. Every one of us have gifts and graces. God gave those to you, a measure of faith. You have it. And every one of you have something that's, I mean, you've got stuff I don't have. I mean, I'm amazed at people that can write songs. I can't write a song to save my life. I wrote my wife one, and it's none of your business if you ever hear it, but I wrote my wife a song. I can't write a song to save my life. I can't. I'm amazed by songwriters that can put it out there. Well, there's stuff that amazes me about a lot of people. Stuff I just can't do. This. I can't draw a stick figure. I can't. My wife's an artist. I mean, she can draw stuff, and she puts stuff on Facebook, and she shows to me. I'm thinking, I always tell her, I said, sweetheart, I just wish I could do that one time in my life, and I'd really feel like I'd arrived. And she's, and her family's got the gifts and has those abilities. I can't do that. But I got stuff they can't do. And you got stuff you can do that somebody else can't do. And if every one of us can take those gifts that God has given us, our potential, mix it with hard work. Leonard Ravenhill said, you ought to work as though you don't believe in prayer and pray like you don't believe in work. And I want to tell you, hard work will get you a long ways down the road with its mix, but diligence, that careful, constant application of detail and importance with your potential, that produces excellence. And 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5 says this, make every effort to add to your faith. In other words, you're supposed to take what God gave you and you're supposed to add to it. Let's look at that verse. It's 2 Peter 1, 5. But for this very reason, giving all diligence, that's that sense of intense application. Add to your faith. The King James says, make every effort. Not just one effort, every effort. Keep adding to your faith. Keep working at it. And you know, if you keep applying yourself, and keep trying to get better at what you do, and those gifts and talents and graces God has given you, mixing them with hard work and diligence, there's going to be things begin to happen because God will take your seriousness, your desire to be the best you can be. When you have that in you, I want to do this the very best I can. Doesn't mean there won't be along the way some stumbles. In the process of trying to run as fast and as hard as you can, you're going to fall down sometimes. But if we make every effort to be the best we can be, listen, Turn to Colossians 3. Let me show you another verse here. One you can underline if you want a verse for the evening. Here it is. Here's the standard for excellence. Colossians 3:23. Here's the standard. Memorize this. Whatever you do, do it with all your heart as working for the Lord and not for men. So wherever you're employed, they're not really your boss, are they? The Lord is. You're not just under the covering of men. You're doing it as unto the Lord. Men may not see it, but God does. And God keeps the books. God keeps the books. He knows those that mean what they say and say what they mean. He knows those whose hearts are right and those that not. Not just what they do, but why they do it. He knows that. And we're to do this heartily. New King James, do whatever you do, do it heartily. Don't be mediocre. Hate mediocrity. I have a bad habit of thinking of various aspects of life in food terms. I have all these things I think about, and whenever I think about them, I think of a certain food. Now, I realize I'm a bit of a foodie. I know it. Like, for instance, when I think of sin, I think of caramel. Caramel's sticky. It's gooey. You know, once you get yourself into that, this happened last Sunday. You may not have known it. I didn't tell anybody about it. But I almost ran out of gas getting here, so I stopped in Pittsburgh at the big truck stop and put some gas in. And when I was putting gas in, somebody put a piece of gum, dropped it, and I stepped on it while I was putting gas in. And my shoe was sticking the whole time, and I kept going like this. It was driving me crazy. Why would somebody just throw gum out like that? Well, that's like caramel. It's sticky. It's gooey. And you get into that. You can't hardly get out of it once you're into it. Right? Well, I could tell you a whole bunch of other stuff I think about in certain food terms. I'm not going to do it tonight. But I'll tell you this. When I think of mediocrity, you know what I think of? Tapioca pudding. I don't like tapioca pudding. Oh, I don't. I don't understand why people eat that stuff. If you go to a really good old-fashioned Chinese buffet, oh, hallelujah, and they got their puddings there, I don't know why they ruin those buffets by putting tapioca there. Every time I see that stuff, I think of mediocrity. I think of lukewarmness. I think of all the stuff that God warmed us. He would spew us out of his mouth. I just don't eat it. And that's every once in a while, try this tapioca. And I don't get why people lie. I just don't understand that. Now, let me tell you something. Hear me tonight. All humor aside now. Listen to this. I don't think God's pleased with us, not at all, when we're satisfied just good enough or mediocre. Well, we know what he thinks of lukewarmness. He wants us to be people that are striving to be all we can be, as best we can be. If I can't measure up, I'm not supposed to. I'm not supposed to. But let me tell you something. We're in partnership. I still laugh when I hear this. When Michael Jordan was playing ball, there was a guy on his team, I think it was Bill Cartwright, if I remember right, and one night, ESPN announced that tonight, Michael Jordan and Bill Cartwright scored 63 points. That's pretty impressive. 31, 32, no. The box score was Michael scored 59, Cartwright scored 4. So we look at ourselves, we think, well, what's this? This isn't much. But we're partnering with Jesus. And so us and him, right? Us giving our best, partnering with him who is the best, King of kings, Lord of lords, you and I and him together, make an agreement that if two or three agree as touching anything, they shall have what they ask. And he makes us more than capable, more than conquerors through him that loved us. And we're more than a match for anything the enemy sends away. Come on, give God a praise offering in the house. Hallelujah. Now, I'm going to spend tonight just going over the first of the 10 points. I'll come back to them next Wednesday night and beyond. Here are the 10 points, and we'll begin with the first one, of achieving excellence in your life. If you're not taking notes, write on something and put it in a notebook and bring a notebook with you on Wednesday nights, because I'm not going to get these out to you. I don't want you to just know my plan in advance or you won't listen to me. I want you to get excited about what's coming, and I'll give them to you one at a time. Here's the first one, though. The first thing towards striving for excellence is you have to have a mission. You have to have a mission. Every day, your life has to be governed with purpose. If you don't have a purpose, there's no reason to be excellent. But the purpose, the mission, will give you something that you're striving for, that you want to be the best that you can be to get there. Remember Ronald Reagan? Remember President Reagan? You know, President Reagan, whatever else may have been said about him, and people called him all sorts of things. They said all kinds of really demeaning things about Ronald Wilson Reagan. But he knew his mission. And the thing he came into office in this country was to put people back to work and end the Cold War. Am I exaggerating those of you who remember that? His determination was to put America back to work. He lowered the overall tax rate on businesses to, I think it was 20-some percent. And all of a sudden, the nation exploded in growth. And his opponents said it'll never work. They called it voodoo economics. I remember those days vividly. And he had a mission to put America back to work and to end the Cold War, and it ended. We watched it end following his administration. He knew what his mission was. And you and I have got to know our mission. We got to know why we're here. What is our mission in life? In other words, the mission is your big picture. Hear what I'm going to say right now. Your mission can't get swallowed up with trivial details. You got to know your mission, and you can't waste time utilizing all your energy on triviality. There's a larger purpose for our lives. And people that are excellent know what their mission is. They know what they're called to do. And I'm not just talking about the spiritual environment. This also applies in the secular world. People that know what they're after, they know what their purpose is, and they're going after it with all their might, they don't get distracted. Years and years and years ago, I don't even remember which preacher it was I heard say this. I never forgot it, though. He was talking about something I remember from my childhood, because I grew up in a railroad family. My grandfather was a telegraph operator on the Milwaukee Road. I spent months of my youngest years in a depot with my grandfather. And we used to go down there and play around. It was just joy to be there with him. And I remember in the town that I grew up in, at night, trains would blow through town. They'd come through late at night. It may still happen here. I don't know. They still come through Connersville late at night. We still hear them. And this preacher was talking about these trains have a purpose. They're going somewhere. But every single town where they go through, as those trains are moving down the tracks through those communities, every little dog comes out and starts yapping. Right? And you can hear it. As the trains are approaching, the dogs will start carrying on. The trains don't stop to shut up the dogs. Or they would never get anywhere. I have learned something as a grandfather. I can't spend all my time arguing with a three-year-old. How many grandparents know what I'm talking about right there? I love my grandkids, but I'm not going to get swallowed up in the triviality of a 3- and 5-year-old's opinion. They don't have the big picture. We do. You got to know, and I got to know, what our mission is. This church has to know its mission. If that's not clear, we're going to wander. We're going to meander around. We already know what our mission is. Jesus said, go! Jesus said, go! Jesus said, go! Everyone say, go! He said, go and make disciples of all nations. That's our job. And we can't lose our mission or we'll never be excellent at what we're doing. We got to stay focused. The German adage, the main business is keeping the main business, right? We have to make sure we understand what is our mission. It's to go and make disciples. I'll be preaching more about that in coming Sundays on Sunday mornings, but I'm just telling you this, that we can't get so swallowed up in all of this other stuff that we forget who we are and what we're called to do. To be excellent, you have to know what your purpose is. If you were to say to me, Pastor Kane, I don't know what that is, here's what I tell you. Then you got to get on your face and you calling on heaven for God to show you why you're here. I know why I'm here. At 15 years of age, I had a plan to be a millionaire by 30, half in cash, at 15. And God called me to preach. I was in preparation for a scholarship at the Coast Guard Academy, had a congressional recommendation from Tom Foley, Speaker of the House. And God said, I didn't call you. I called you to preach. I knew it at 15, what I was called to do. And I've run with all of my might these last 45 years. I've done everything I know to do to stay focused on that purpose. I'm not competing with any other preacher. I'm not. And you can't compete with anybody else either. You've got to say, this is who I am. This is what I'm called to do. This is my purpose. And when you gather that, that will help you to be excellent, because when you say to yourself, this is my purpose, then you're going to start saying to yourself, what do I have to do to get there? What can I do better to get there? And then you begin to say, do I need further training? Do I need further education? Do I need further mentoring? Or am I better identified in this way or in that way? And the Holy Spirit will begin to reveal things to us, not just in the church and ministry per se, but how about in our life? How about in our career? How about in our marriage? How about in raising of children? How about in managing money? The purpose is critical. Hello? Because when you know what you're called to do, what your purpose in this world is, it's going to help you to streamline what you spend things on and what you won't waste your money on and what you're going to focus your family on and how you're going to use your time. There's things that every one of us, and all of us are different, and some of you may have even priorities that are larger than what other people may even begin to grasp. You have a sense of calling, you have a sense of vision, a sense of understanding. We cannot lose, and we must grasp what is our purpose. God has a plan for your life, every one of you in the house. From the youngest among us to the oldest, God has a plan for our life. You need to discover for yourself, as my mentor Paul Davidson used to say, he used to talk about pounding out on your own anvil. You got to get on your own face. Nobody can tell you. You're going to have to discover for yourself what it is God wants you to do. And when you find out, with all your might, pour yourself into it. And that might require, I never dreamed or understood many years ago that I'd be doing bivocational work, but I was willing to do it because of the larger purpose. I knew it was not going to be forever, but I knew it was necessary to get from point A to point B. There are churches today in existence because of what we did. They are still in existence. If they had not, they would have closed. They would no longer be here. We were willing to do it. We were willing to make the sacrifices at great cost. But it was because of the mission. And now what is my mission? It hasn't changed. Except to say this. That I can tell you now, just as Paul said, I no longer count my life dear unto myself, if only now to complete the task that God has given us. That's what it's about. Let me tell you tonight, God has not only got a plan for your life, He's got a purpose. purpose for you. And he wants you to discover what that is. As a church, go and make disciples of all nations. Where are they? Across the street and around the world. I've never understood churches that can invest money to the four corners of the world, but they can't go across the street to help the needy. I've never got that. But they're just as real there as they are there. It's all inclusive, isn't it? We have local concerns. We have domestic concerns. We have international concerns. But the process and the mission remains the same. And to be excellent, you gotta know what it is you have been created to do. And do it with all your might, as unto the Lord. Would you bow your heads? I want to do something right now in a very tender, in a very intimate way. I'm not going to ask anyone to leave your seat. I just want you to be gut-level honest. I want to see the hand of every person in the house that would say, so help me God, I don't even fully yet understand what my mission is. But I want God beginning right now to help me with that. Would you put your hand up if that applies to you? Heavenly Father, tonight, there's nothing in me of anything but compassion for your people, because I know the time is short. And Father, we got to find that mission and niche, each of us. I know what it's like at times to feel like you're out in the middle of nowhere, wondering whether or not God has forgotten you. But somehow at the core of it is that recognition of who He is and what He wants us to do. And I pray for every hand that was lifted here just a moment ago. I pray beginning tonight that something is going to change in their life. You're going to begin to reveal what you'd have them to do. I speak right now prophetically into the life of every man, woman, and child in this room and those on this campus right now and those who are identified with this congregation. Father, there's something burning in my spirit that you want us to, Lord, complete the task you've given us to do. And Father, you're blessing us so we can be a blessing. You've opened the windows of heaven over this church in the last 16, 17 months, and the cash on hand has just exploded. That's because you got things you want us to do. And you don't want us wasting it in triviality. You want us to know the mission. You want us to do the job. And we want to be the best we can be. I pray for every man, woman, and child in this house that, Lord, that you will help them to learn, even if it's by dream, vision, something they would hear, something they would read, or Father, where they would least expect it, all of a sudden it would click, the light would come on, and they would say, that's what I must do. Heavenly Father, we pray in the name of Jesus for even those that listen to this message by stream. I pray, God, that a new anointing, that a new anointing of mission would seize this congregation. That, Lord, what you have directed us to do, that we'll go do it. And we won't get distracted by every yapping little hound as this train of God is moving toward its destination. That we will not lose our focus, our purpose. That we'll... like it was said, O God, of Jesus, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross. He knew where he was going, because he knew who he was. And Father, Satan trembles when he learns, when we figure out who we are, Satan trembles. Because he knows he can't stop a person who has a clearly defined mission. Heavenly Father, we're to go and make disciples. Show us how we tap into that. Do a thing in each and every one of our lives, we pray. Whew. Boy, I feel the anointing so heavy in this house tonight. Put your hands toward heaven. Would you just ask God in your own sweet way right now? Would you right now just say, Lord, would you help me to learn this and discover this? I want to hear from you. God, I want to hear clearly from you. God, I want to know that I know. Oh, God. Heavenly Father, we pray. I pray for everyone here on my left, those before me in the center, those to the right. Like a tsunami of blessing, let your anointing wash over this crowd. As men and women, oh God, one more time are yielding their lives, submitting to hard work, diligence mixed with their own potential. God, help us as we apply ourselves, as we give it our best, as we use the gifts and graces that you place within us. Heavenly Father, we ask you, Lord, that you'll take the word and confirm it with signs and wonders following. And that, Lord, that something would begin to arise within us that will not let us stay silent, that won't let us just sit on the sideline. We'll have to be in the ball game because we got a mission to fulfill. Help us to do it, God. Help us to do it, God. I feel so impressed to say this to somebody. I do not know who I'm talking to. I want you to hear what I'm saying. The gifts and callings of God are without repentance. When He calls you, He doesn't take it back. Somebody in this room started at one point something, and you didn't finish it. For whatever reason, it didn't get done. And you think that opportunity's been lost forever. Not so. Not so. The Lord wants you to know, as long as you still have life in your body, there's still the possibility of going back and finish what you started. Go finish it. Go do what God told you to do. Finish the task. Finish the purpose. Whatever it is. Don't think because of some failing or some mistake. God loves lost causes. He likes broken things. He likes putting stuff back together the way He wants it to be. I don't know who that's for. But if you got stuff you need to do, go do it with all your might. Let the Lord lead you. Timing's everything. Don't just rush out there and start beating people up with pulpit Bibles. Just seek His wisdom. He'll give you the timing. He'll give you the moment. He'll give you the situation. Great things are going to happen. Praise God.